today we are finishing up, concluding our passage from Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. And our focus this morning is verses 18 to 20. I asked Mose to read those two particular passages from the Gospel according to Luke regarding prayer. And both of those portions were spoken and taught directly by our Lord. And it relates to the nature of our passage today, which is about prayer from verses 18 to 20. This sums up, this caps off, this like glue binds all of the armor and the spiritual warfare, the nature of the battle we are in. It binds it all together in verses 18 to 20. Now, I really have been praying for all of you, and I hope and pray that as we have been carefully and slowly digesting and going through this particular passage from Ephesians, I've been praying that it's been a serious blessing to you and encouragement and also an exhortation for all of us, as it has been for me, to take with utmost seriousness the reality of spiritual warfare that all Christians are engaged in and the armor of God that we are called to receive and take up as we battle against the wiles and the schemes of the evil one. And in order not just to be in this fight, not just to get worn out or weary, but to actually have victory over all those things, those temptations, those fiery arrows, to have victory over them in Christ Jesus, who is our strength and our might. But those passages that Mose read from the Gospel of Luke strongly accentuate the importance of prayer, strongly accentuate the importance and critical nature of prayer and being persistent in prayer and making prayer a habit of one's life as a Christian. Praying, as Paul says in our passage, at all times. And as Jesus said in Luke 18, not losing heart as we constantly pray to God. Now, back in May, I did a sermon more in relation to the Trinity and prayer, but today I want us to be focusing on prayer in relation to this particular passage. It is good for all of us to have a reminder, a sort of probing into our hearts about the importance of prayer. So let me read our few verses for us this morning that we will be considering. And then I have a question for you. Look with me at verse 18 to 20. Paul writes, after he lays out all the six pieces of the armor of God, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, I think it would be important to us to again briefly pray before we continue. Lord, as Mose prayed so well and clearly, we need you. You are the greatest gift we have been given, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Salvation, redemption, but we also have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us, direct us, illuminate us, empower us, strengthen us, and to help us engage with the Word of God so that we might uncover the riches of the Word and, And the Holy Spirit doesn't leave it at that, but he helps us to live out the very word of God in our daily lives. And Lord, as we consider once again the importance of prayer related to what Paul is writing about here in Ephesians, Lord, may we as believers in Christ Jesus also take prayer with seriousness, and also might find it to be the greatest joy as we commune with God through prayer. Lord, open up our eyes, energize our hearts and our minds right now as we come before your word. Awaken us, awaken our souls. Help us to be excited, Lord, for the word of God and for putting it into practice in our lives. And may it edify us this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. Well, a question that I want to present to you right now is related to this passage, and it's a very simple question, and it's one that we need to engage in frequently, and it's, how important is prayer in your life? How important is prayer in my life? How important is prayer in my daily moment-by-moment life? Especially as I engage in spiritual warfare, in the battles about which we have been considering in Ephesians 6. How important is prayer as I put on the full armor of God to resist and withstand the evil one? Or do I consider prayer to be more for maybe the hyper-spiritual, if you will, those who are leaders in the church, or those who are so-called prayer warriors? Or is prayer, on the flip side of that, something I cannot live without? Is prayer something that I cannot live without? Am I persistently persevering in my life as a saint of God with all kinds of prayers and petitions to God? Although prayer is not, in chapter 6, a part, as I said earlier, a part of the armor of God. It's not a piece. It's not an equipment that we pick up. What we got to understand is that as Paul is talking through chapter 6, this portion on prayer is not just an add-on. It's not a second paragraph that has nothing to do with the previous verses. It has everything to do with the armor of God. It has everything to do with the spiritual warfare that we in. And each piece of armor that we put on, that the Lord has given us, each piece must be put on with prayer. And it must be sustained by prayer. And prayer must bathe our lives, must soak up our very lives as we fully depend on God and his grace and his power and his wisdom and his strength as we defeat Satan in our daily battles. As you all very well know, we can't fight these battles in our own strength. We need the grace of God in order to fight valiantly against Satan, or we will fail. We must, as the popular hymn says, which we sang a few weeks ago, says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. And so what Paul is telling us as we go through our daily battles in life, as we get up each day, as we lay our heads on our pillow each night, Paul is saying to pray always. Pray always, always pray, always pray. And he highlights in verses 18 to 20, particularly verse 18, just how critical, just how needed prayer is by using a very small word four times in verse 18. And that word is all, A-L-L. Four times he uses the word all. And that is exactly how I outlined our sermon for today. In order for you to see just how important Paul tells us prayer is. And he does that by capitalizing on that word, all. And so there are four parts in the sermon that relate to that word all, so that you might realize just how vital prayer is, and that you and I cannot do without prayer in our lives or in this warfare that Satan assaults us with. So the first all that Paul talks about, and there are four of them, is this. Verse 18, first thing he says, he tells us to pray all kinds of prayer and petition. All kinds of prayer and petition. Now, what does this mean? All kinds of prayer and petition. Well, this means that there are simply, it's not rocket science, that there are all kinds, there are all types, there are all varieties of prayer and petitions that you can bring before God. There isn't just one kind of prayer that we get stuck on in our times of prayer that we bring to God. This is a reminder to us that Paul brings to us that prayer is not limited to just one category, or that there's only one kind of prayer we can pray. See, as Christians, our prayer life can suffer. It can become stagnant at times. It can be dull. Have any of you been there? I'm sure you have. Sometimes our understanding of prayer can be skewed or even unbiblical. We tend to think that prayer is only needed in times of desperate need, or when we or someone else wants something or needs something, or when we find ourselves that life is throwing us a curveball. Then and only then do we pray. And we might think, well, I'm not a prayer warrior like so-and-so over there. I can't attain to that high level of prayer likeness in my life. But dear Christian, I mean, that is not the case at all with prayer. Prayer to Paul, the apostle, is a way of life. It was the air he breathed. Prayer was as important to Paul as every beat of his heart. And so it must be to you and me. Look, like I've shared before about this section, about really this entire letter to the Ephesians, Paul is writing this epistle to every single Christian, not just those so-called prayer warriors. Paul isn't all of a sudden isolating Christians from other Christians, saying, okay, I want this group over here who seem to be really good at praying to be engaged in prayer. And this group, well, you depend on the prayer warriors. No, this is for every single Christian in this room, every single Christian to whom Paul is writing. See, if we neglect prayer in our life as Christians, our lives will lack power and vibrancy. It will lack worship and God-centeredness and God-focus. If prayer is lacking, or if prayer in some cases, in some of our lives, if prayer is non-existent, we will miss out if we don't spend time in prayer. We will miss out on seeing the glory of God on display as he answers specific prayers that you bring before him. We will miss out on the joyful exuberance of communion with God through prayer. We will miss out on the comfort and the joy and the peace and grace that comes from presenting our prayers and supplications to God and casting all of our cares on the God who cares for us. We will miss out if we don't pray as saints on giving God the praise and thanksgiving for working in our lives. Don't you want God to work in your lives, Christian? In other people's lives in specific ways as you bring specific prayers to God? That's not something I hope any one of you want to miss out on. So how important is prayer in your life? The word that Paul uses here in verse 18 as he starts out the verse for prayer is the most general term for prayer that he could use. It's the word that we often see throughout the New Testament. It's a general term for prayer. It can include any type of prayer to God as we humbly approach and reverently approach God in communion through prayer. You see, as we know, prayer goes way beyond just asking God for something. Prayer is all-compassing, and that's what Paul starts out by saying by using this word prayer. Prayer encompasses all aspects of communication with God. It's not just asking for requests, supplications, and petitions, as Paul will eventually get to next, but it's also about adoring God. It's about magnifying God. It's about exalting and thanking God. Remember in Philippians 4, when Paul gives that most common verse that we're all very familiar with, he says, in everything, with all prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. So when we offer our prayers to God, it's not just, Lord, here's my list of things I want. It's offering God adoration and thanksgiving and gratitude. And another thing, prayer is knowing the God to whom you are praying. He's not just a random spirit in the sky, right? He's a particular God. He is the God of the Bible. He's the creator of the universe. He is the God who saves. He is the God who listens. He is the God who has made a way by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, in order for us to approach the throne of God to receive the grace that we need from God in our time of need. There is only one true God, and we pray to him alone. You don't pray to others. You don't have to go before a priest. You don't have to pray to Mary. Sorry, Mary. Or any other Mary in here. You don't have to use prayer beads. You don't have to wish upon a star. You don't have to cross your fingers, hope to die, and hope that a prayer might... No, you go to the God that is from the scriptures, the God of this universe, and to him alone do we pray in Christ Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Know what prayer is all about so that you also know to whom you pray and what he requires of us. But then next, look, after prayer, Paul uses the word petition, with all prayer and petition. And now he narrows it down here. This word petition is more specific, more particular. It carries the idea of an urgent request to God for a particular need, an urgent request to God for a particular need, for either ourselves or someone else. For example, this is when we pray for a particular sickness that we might have contracted or a disease. It might be praying for God helping us to get through the pain and suffering that is the lot of all human beings, but going to God and depending on him for any vexing situation in your life. This is asking God particularly to deliver you from an evil person or an evil situation in your life. Or giving you victory. Lord, I am struggling with this particular sin. Give me victory over this temptation. Help me get over it so I might walk according to your ways. This is praying for someone's salvation, particularly specific people that you desire to see saved and come to faith in Christ. This is praying for boldness. As you preach the gospel, as Paul will ask for prayer in verse 19 and 20. This is praying, Lord, give me courage as I proclaim the gospel in the mall, as I tell my family members and coworkers and friends and schoolmates and whoever the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could be praying specifically, I need a job. I need to support my family. Lord, help me to provide. This is praying for God to be glorified in this church service. Or maybe you are praying, Lord, provide for me a godly spouse. that I can get married to, and so forth. You get the point. We're not strangers to this. But petition means praying for specific and oftentimes urgent requests to God. And by using this phrase, with all prayer and petition, Paul is encompassing the whole scope of prayer. I want to give you a personal example of this. This is one that just stands out very clearly in my mind that happened in my life over 15 years ago in New York City when I was working at a music school in Greenwich Village. And on my lunch break, I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken right up the street, and I ordered my food, sat down by the window that I could look out onto the street of Second Avenue, and I saw all these people there. And I saw one particular man all the way across the street, and he looked homeless and ragged and unkempt, and he definitely was homeless. And I just prayed at that moment, not for all those people, but I prayed, Lord, if you want me to somehow minister to this man, can you make it obvious to me? I prayed. I ate my food. I was looking this way in the restaurant. I turned around, and that man was right at the window looking right at me. And I'm like, oh, okay, the Lord is answering my specific prayer. And I said, okay, I invited him. I said, come on in, come on in. And I said, can I buy you some food? And I bought him some food. And the whole restaurant was looking at me like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? But I just kept on doing it. I got him some food. He sat down with me and I shared the gospel with him. And I prayed a particular prayer and God answered that. I'm sure all of you can testify of particular prayers in your life that you can give witness to how God has answered them specifically. Paul is saying, give God those petitions. Pray for specific prayers. Our lives must be saturated in prayer. They shouldn't always be general, vague, but let's make sure our petitions are specific. See, the more particular that your prayers are, the more you will know and see the hand of God working in your life as you pray specific things. Praying according to the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ. See, you can pray for the whole world to hear the gospel. That's fine. But have you prayed for your friend John or for your family member Sue? Have you prayed for someone who is battling some kind of sickness, praying specifically? See, if you struggle with this, if you struggle with, well, how can I pray? Well, let me tell you, there are so many ways to help you to pray specifically. Of course, we have to go to the Bible. We have an entire 150 Psalms to help you know how to pray and what to pray and why to pray and in what manner to pray. If you are struggling in this manner of all kinds of prayers and petitions, make available in your life the book of Psalms. Learn from David and the wide array of prayers that he offers to God. Go to that. If you need further help, even outside the scripture with particular resources, I would recommend a couple things. There's something that I use. Each day I get an email from Matthew Henry's email. It's called Matthew Henry's Method for Prayer. And I get that email every day and it gives specific things, goes through all the things through the Bible on how you and what you can pray for. And then, of course, there are many books out there that you can avail yourself to help you to become a better prayer person, praying all kinds of prayers and petitions. And then, of course, you can learn from all of the characters in the Bible, not least of which is Jesus Christ. There are many attacks that Satan will bring against you, Christian. Many arrows. The content of life is vast. The trials and temptations of life are many. And Paul is saying, cover your life in prayer. There is no circumstance, there is no issue, no temptation, no suffering, no trial. There is no devilish attack, no high or low in your life, no victory or defeat that you cannot pray for or pray in or during. You can pray in and for everything. So again, are you, Christian, praying all kinds of prayers? Are you urgently petitioning and requesting of God in the name of Christ? Are you putting on and receiving each armor of God? Each armor of God with prayer. Paul goes on. Paul goes on to our next all. Not only should you be praying all kinds of prayers, but next Paul tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. This is our second point that we have here. Now let's first consider here, as you look at verse 18, what does Paul mean by at all times? Now that seems quite demanding. It seems like an impossible expectation, especially as I'm sure some of you can relate for Christians. Sometimes prayer can be challenging. It can be dull. For some, it can be boring. For many of us in this fast-paced world in which we live, we think, well, I just don't have time to pray. And I just really don't understand how God wants me to pray. But remember the context in which Paul is writing. Paul has been teaching about spiritual warfare against Satan, against his numerous fiery arrows. And so Paul is exhorting the Christians here to make sure that prayer, listen, is the primary, one of the primary activities of each day. One of the primary activities of each day. He is saying in every moment of life, at set times, at seasons in life, especially when Satan attacks us, you must be about praying. Now, I want to break this down for just a little bit here for you to understand, to have clear in your mind what Paul is talking about when he says at all times. That word that Paul uses for time is kairos. There are two general terms for time that are predominantly used in the New Testament. One is kairos, one is chronos. Chronos can more mean entailing sequence or chronology of time. Paul is not suggesting here that you pray every single second of every single day on your knees, prostrating yourself like a monk, praying at all times without getting up. That's not what Paul is suggesting here. But rather, by using that specific word, kairos, he is meaning that we pray at any time or during any season of life when we are given any opportunity to pray. It means that prayer is in order all the time, anytime, at any place, and in any circumstance. See, prayer is not limited to just the prayer meeting or to Sunday morning service or to a Bible study. Thankfully, prayer is not limited to only a temple or a church building. You all know that you can pray as soon as you wake up in the morning. You can pray as soon as you go to bed at night. You can pray if you're not sleeping at night, as I know some of you do here. If you're lacking sleep, you get up and pray. You can pray when you are washing the dishes. You can pray when you are cutting the grass. You can pray when you are commuting to work. You can pray when you're at work. You don't need to bring a prayer rug, but you can pray in your heart to God. You can pray when you're talking to someone in your mind, in your heart. What Paul is saying by praying at all times is you can pray at any occasion and any opportunity. Think about Daniel in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You can set particular times of the day to pray like he did. He set three times of day to pray to God, and he was committed to that. You don't have to do that, but you can if that helps you to organize your prayer time, if you are a little flippant in your prayer life. Your prayers don't have to be long drawn out. They don't have to be eloquent. I know some of you can be a little tentative or hesitant to pray because you think, well, I'm just not a polished prayer-er. I can't pray as well as so-and-so. You know, they use all the V's and thou's and the high and lofty language when they pray, and I just am very simple. Well, you know what? That's okay. Look to Jesus in Matthew 6 or Luke 11, and Jesus said, this is how you are ought to pray. We don't have to pray these long prayers like he said, like the pagans or Gentiles do. But you know what? You can also pray long if you want as well. Jesus at times prayed all night. So prayer is vast. And Paul is saying to pray at all times. And let me make this clear as well. This is sometimes the hardest time to pray. When you don't feel like it. When your emotions and your feelings and you're going through something, it's just too heavy. You're down and out, you're discouraged, you're tired, you're exhausted. You just don't want to pray. I know I can be in that position. And I'm just like, not right now. I'll wait until I'm happy or joyful. But Paul is suggesting here by using this at all times, possibly saying, pray at any time. Pray when you are joyful. Pray when you are sorrowful. Because if we let our feelings and emotions to win the day, we will allow them to win over our determination and our desperate need to pray. God knows you, right? He knows you inside and out. He knows what you are thinking. He knows the sins and weaknesses and temptations you are going through. And even in that, you can pray. Go to the Psalms. Learn from King David. In all things, he prayed. See, there are many addictions out there, right? We can be addicted to alcohol, gambling, you name it, drugs, food. There's many types of addictions out there, but there is really one addiction that I think is probably a healthy one, and that is prayer. That is prayer. It's an addiction you and I need more of in our life because of the critical nature of prayer. We need prayer. But Paul goes on, look at this in verse 18. He doesn't just say pray at all times, but what does he add there? In the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit of God to pray. In fact, you cannot pray in your own strength. You can't and should not pray according to your own will. But in the Spirit, and you should be praying according to God's will, and by the enabling strength and power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. See, we pray because of the Holy Spirit. We have access to God the Father because of Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. In fact, look at chapter 2, verse 18. Paul says this of Ephesians. He says, for through him, through Jesus, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. To make it clear again, your prayers are only possible because of the Holy Spirit and also because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross to bring you to God the Father. Now, I want to clarify something, especially in our day and age where we have a lot of fringe groups, but they're not just fringe because they have made huge inroads into the Christian church, many of which are false churches and so forth. But praying at all times in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, does not mean wild, out-of-control mysticism. It doesn't mean being erratic. It doesn't mean being disorderly or out of control. It doesn't mean praying in gibberish or using ecstatic tongues that mean nothing. It's not trying to hear some kind of ambiguous voice of God that is not real or whatnot, but it simply means praying, like I said, in the will of the Holy Spirit, which is in the will of God's Word. See, our prayers are controlled by the Spirit, and they must be in line with the Spirit. It also means that, as I said, praying in the power of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit provides to you the ability, the strength, and even the desire to pray, even when you do not know what to pray for. He gives us the emotional vitality to pray. As Romans 8:26-27 says, in the same way, Paul writes here, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. How wonderful, right? That you have the Holy Spirit of God to guide you in your prayers. Let me illustrate this quickly for you. See, the Holy Spirit is like a parent guiding their child to ride a bike. Now, of course, any illustration that relates to the Trinity always can lose its forcefulness, but this might help. See, the child is on the bike, pedaling and moving, but the parent puts their hand on the shoulders of the child and guides them and protects them from crashing into trees or, God forbid, from running into a car or a car running into the child. And the child listens and goes along with the will of the parent so as not to fall off or crash. And in a similar fashion, but way, 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 way much more, the Holy Spirit guides your prayers, gives you the ability and power to pray. He directs your prayers so that you are in line with the will and word of God. And the Holy Spirit will guard and protect you from any dangerous attack of the enemy and keep you on the road of righteousness and being dead center in the will of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, especially in our prayers. So Christians, at all times, pray. We must make it our absolute priority to pray whenever given the opportunity. Which is when? Every day, every season, every circumstance, in every attack from Satan, all the time. In fact, most of you have an iPhone or any type of smartphone. And one of the things that it does is show you your weekly amount of time that you spent on your iPhone. And some of you look at that and go, yeesh, I am not spending my time in my life well, right? Seize every moment, every time to live for Christ, right? Ephesians 4, I believe it is. But as you look at that on your iPhone, and you think, well, I spent all that time playing games, searching the internet, doing emails, texts, and so forth. How much time are you spending in prayer instead of on your gadgets? I like what Keith Green, the singer, said in the 80s. He said, I make my life a prayer to you. Is our life a prayer to God? Not just Sunday mornings, not just prayer meetings, but every day. And this brings us to our next all, our third all. In verse 18, Paul says to pray with all perseverance and petition. It's like Paul is trying to lodge this in their hearts and minds. Pray all kinds of prayers first. Pray at all times in the Spirit second. Now, pray with all perseverance and petition. And he says in verse 18, look at that. He says, with this in view, or to this end, as some translations say, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. Paul, with what in view? To what end should we pray? Well, Paul is connecting prayer, perseverance, and alertness together. He's binding them together. See, as we pray all kinds of prayers and petitions, as you pray all the time, on all occasions, what is Paul saying? Be on the alert. Be on the alert for things to pray for. Be on the alert, as he's been saying, because Satan will come against you. Be on the alert for others who need prayer. Don't give up on praying. When Paul says be on the alert, this is what he means. This is what this idea means. Don't get sleepy in prayer. Don't fall asleep in prayer. Pray at all times and all occasions. Be watchful. Be tenacious in your prayers. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, pray without ceasing. See, we pray when things are up in our life and when things are low. It's like what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach in all seasons, preach at all times, in season and out of season. And it's like Paul is saying here in Ephesians 6, pray in season and out of season with all alertness, vigilance, and tenacity. Pray, pray, pray. In everything, pray. Since the devil does not stop assaulting you, you must not stop praying. Don't stop looking for opportunities to pray. And if you need prayer, and you do, pray for yourself, but pray for your brothers and sisters next to you. Be watchful, Paul is saying. Be that prayer warrior that you should be. In fact, what have we been talking about? Being soldiers of Christ, putting on the armor of God, fighting valiantly as a soldier of Christ. And all of us are to be prayer warriors. Not just me, not just you, not just her. Everyone. You're a soldier of Christ. But Paul goes on here. He does not mince words in verse 18. He is telling you and me and the Ephesians and others just how critical prayer is. Okay, if you need motivation right now in your life, as I'm sure you do and I do for prayer, especially in the battles that we face, may this next thing that Paul says not, he doesn't just say be alert, but it's like he's capitaling, you know, emboldening everything here. And he says, pray alertly with all perseverance, with all perseverance. Not just some perseverance, but so-and-so, be absolutely committed to prayer and be vigilant, be on the lookout. Be like a watchman on duty, looking for opportunities coming your way to pray. And this word for perseverance can mean to continue to do something, listen, with intense effort. Continue to do something with intense effort. Listen, friends. Prayer is not going to come without a fight. Prayer is not going to come naturally without working hard at it. Prayer is not just going to come to you as if it's as easy as turning on the TV and watching a movie for 3 hours. You need to persevere, work hard at it, make it an intense effort in your life. In like manner, in Romans 12, verse 12, Paul says to be what? Devoted to prayer. Not slacking off in prayer, but to be devoted to prayer. You have to work at it. Don't be a drowsy, sleepy-eyed Christian. Paul is saying engage in constant, heartfelt, spirit-filled prayer all the time. Because not doing this, Christians, listen, please, pastorally I say this. If you don't engage in prayer at all, you will be a prime target for the attacks, temptations, and sins that Satan will lob your way, and you won't have the strength, power of God to fight those off. Just like you have to do everything in your strength to open up your Bible and read and study and meditate on it and apply it, the same thing goes with prayer. You have to intensely persevere at praying. Satan trembles. Listen, I love this quote. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. We got to pray and be as urgent as the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Listen, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Is prayer sweet to you like honey, dear Christian? Is prayer to you as important as the next breath of air that you're going to breathe in right now? Is prayer as important as every heartbeat that your heart beats? Is it sweet to you? Is it sweet to you? Now, the final all of Paul's significant statement on prayer here as he closes his argument on the importance of spiritual warfare and the armor of God is this. You don't just, number one, pray all kinds of prayers and petitions, you do. You don't just, number two, pray at all times and on all occasions, you do. And you don't, number three, just pray in all perseverance, being alert, And in the spirit, you do. But number four, look at the end of verse 18. You pray for all the saints. You pray for all the saints. Newshock, praying isn't just for yourself. It's not just for your needs. It's not just for the things that you need help in. But Paul is saying, look beyond yourself and pray for others. There's a story of a young girl living with her mom and dad, and she made it her priority. I'm going to wake up today, and I'm going to pray for others. I'm not going to pray for myself. I'm going to be devoted to laying before God's feet the prayers of the saints. And she did. But then when she got near to the end of her prayer, she said and prayed to God, Lord, and I also pray for my mother, that you would give her a handsome son-in-law. And the point of that is, we often just cannot go to prayer and pray for others without also praying for ourselves, right? Sometimes we are so myopic in our prayers, you know, vision, tunnel vision, that all we can think of is ourselves in prayer. But Paul is saying, pray for the person next to you. Pray for the church. Pray for missionaries. Pray for other Christians in the world. But when he says pray for all saints, you might be thinking, just like Paul is saying to pray at all times, how in the world do I pray for all the saints? There are millions of Christians in the world. How do I pray for them? Should we make an all saints of the world church directory? Should we do that instead of a church directory, but get every Christian's name in the world so you can flip through and pray for them? Well, let me offer you a few ideas here as we bring our sermon to a conclusion. We obviously can't know every Christian by name in every nation, but we can start with the obvious. Look around. I don't know how many people are in this room right now, but this is one thing I know. Those who have put their faith and trust and have repented and have believed in Jesus Christ, you're a saint. A saint is someone who has been set apart by God through Christ, has repented and turned to Christ in faith, saved by his blood, forgiven of his sins, walking with God, having eternal life. That's a saint. Unfortunately, we have wrong misconceptions of, we have misconceptions about what it means to be a saint because of other religions that say, well, you have to reach a certain level of religiosity in order to become a saint. No, the moment you are saved, you are a saint. And so the obvious thing to start with is pray for other saints in your local church. Pray for each other. Really get to know those of us in the church. We have a church directory, thankfully. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Levon, for putting that together with the pictures and names of people in our church. Use that as a resource to go one by one through the people and pray for them in our church. Write their prayer request down. Get to know people. Don't just bolt out of here. Get here early, leave a little later, and get to know people and their requests. Don't just talk about vague, mundane things. Ask brother, sister, how specifically can I pray for you this week? And then pray for them. Jot it down. Follow up with them and ask them how they're doing. How more can I pray for you? Commit to that here at DEFC. Pray often for fellow war-torn, spiritually battle-weary saints. They need it more than you think. You need it more than you think. Ask others to pray for you. Don't be shy. Don't think, well, I'm strong. I'm strong in Christ. I don't need prayer. No. Humble yourself and offer to people your request so they can pray for you. Another way is, as we've said a number of times here, if you need to learn how to pray better, come to the prayer meeting. Don't worry. Like I said earlier, if you struggle with praying, just come and learn from others. Pray the Bible. We pray for missionaries. We pray for each other. We pray for the church. We pray for particular prayer requests. If you need to grow in your prayer life, make it a habit to come together with other believers in a group and pray. It's a sweet hour of prayer. In fact, it's one of the highlights of my week as I know it is for those who come each week. Next, here's another way. You can pray for each other, come to prayer meeting, pray during church time. But here's another important one. See that board back there? I've mentioned this before. You know it's back there. Todd Christofferson keeps it up to date about all of our missionaries. Pray for them. They need it. They need it so badly. It's hard to be a missionary in a foreign country preaching a gospel where you are not welcome. I've been there. I know it. Pray for our missionaries, not just our missionaries. Get the Voice of the Martyrs guide. Get a Gideon's guide. There are a lot of guides out there that can help you pray for specific missionaries. Get the Heart Cry guide that we have. Pray. Commit yourself to praying for our missionaries and missionaries scattered throughout the nation. Especially, we have to be praying for persecuted Christians. Right now, Christians are being attacked for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for them. Don't just get so caught up in your comfortable life that you forget about our bloodied and beaten up Christians and brothers and sisters around the world. And finally, Paul gives us an example of what it means to pray for another saint. And for that prayer to be specific, I'm not gonna unpack this. It could be another sermon, but verses 19 and 20, what does Paul ask? To pray for himself. He's asking the Ephesians, pray for me. Pray for me as I am in prison, as I am an ambassador in chains. And what does he ask for? I love Paul's prayer request here. He's not asking for good health. He's not even asking that he would be released. He is not asking that he would have a good, comfortable prison life. What is he asking? Amen. He is asking that I may boldly proclaim the gospel as an ambassador of Christ for which I am in chains. What a prayer for you and me. To pray that I might faithfully be an ambassador, a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that people might be able to hear the good news of how to be saved, how to receive eternal life, how to have their sins forgiven. This is what Paul is praying for, and he's asking the Ephesians to do so. What a good prayer to be fearless in the midst of being a faithful minister of Christ. So, dear Christian, as we finish up this passage on Ephesians 6 about the spiritual warfare and armor of God, read it again on your own time. But to finish it up once again, how important is prayer in your life? How important is prayer in life? Is this just another sermon on prayer that you can just check off and ignore? Or is this going to be something critical in your life as a believer, a priority? May we grab the same urgency as the Apostle Paul and pray all kinds of prayers and petitions. Pray at all times, pray with all perseverance in the Holy Spirit, and pray for all of the saints. I pray that all of us in this room would become more adept at praying all the time and being prayer warriors as soldiers of Christ. Pray, my friends, as if your life depended on it, because it does. Because it does. That in mind, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come before you and pray. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, O Lord. Help us to live for you. Help us to be forgiving as we are forgiven of our sins. Protect us from the evil one, O Lord, and help us all to take prayer seriously so that we might be effective in fighting against the schemes of the devil, and so that we might live victorious, gospel-centered, rich lives in Christ as we follow you. Help us, O Lord, to make prayer a vital aspect of our daily moment-by-moment life. We need you, Lord, for we are often weak. We're often dull in our spiritual duties of life. So help us to pray because it's a privilege. It's an honor that we get to commune in with you in this manner. So, oh Lord, lead us like a shepherd, lead us. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.